This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Oh,
what's up? Good Wednesday. What's going on?
It's a little rainy.
How you guys doing?
A little wet.
A little wet today.
I'm like 85 to this.
Are you going to Green Day tonight?
I am.
Yeah.
Although the weather's supposed to clear up
a
little bit.
It's supposed to be nice.
I was talking to the great Joe Fisher.
Yeah.
Who's bringing,
and he knows. He's a weatherman.
Yeah, he's a weatherman. He's bringing Lil Joe. So he was all over the radar. He's bringing his kid, so we had to.
Yeah.
And then I had to ask him. I was like, does your kid know anything about Green Day? And I kind of got the, we'll see what happens.
Oh, he's teaching him.
Yeah. So it's a, like bringing young kids. And I think Lil Joe's like, what, like 11-ish?
Yeah, I think that's about right. 11 or 12.
It's a bold move, because sometimes you bring a kid to a concert like that, time of their life. Other, they're like 20 minutes in, they're
like, I see what you did there. I hope you have the time of your life. Isn't that Green Day?
That is Green Day.
That is.
Although I'm a little disappointed in the Songbird of My Generation. That's a little, that was a little rough.
Yeah, you kind of half-assed.
Why was that rough?
Yeah, it was a little rough.
You just didn't give it your all.
Yeah, we've heard the golden tones, and that right there, that was a sarcastic tune. And
I like Green Day,
and I didn't appreciate it.
It's a good band.
It was a little,
they rock.
Not according to that effort right there.
What do you think Billy Joe Armstrong's doing right now?
Probably sitting in a hotel somewhere would be my guess.
Think so?
Yeah, putting on his guy liner. I don't know, spiking his hair, making sure his tie is askew. I don't know what he's doing.
I bet he's doing something cool.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No. Like, what do you? He's like in his 50s. He's in Portland on a rainy day. Like, wow, what's he doing?
He's probably having like a Lardo sandwich or something.
He's Billy Joe Armstrong.
Yeah, my
he's
guess
gotta
is.
He's got to be doing something cool, doesn't he?
I don't think so. I think he's probably sitting in whatever hotel, like at the Nines or something. And he's probably having room service, heading over. Actually, you know what? He's probably like a sound check, because the show's pretty early. I think they go on at like 7:30, so he's probably over at the Providence right
See?
Now.
See, doing something cool.
He's already over at Providence,
I would
imagine.
He's partying in the rain. He's playing...
you know one Green Day song.
I don't know many. What's like their big hit? What's the most popular Green Day song?
That's a good... That's a tough one.
I mean, the one that you sang, Good Riddance, is probably the most like applied in pop culture
time
and stuff.
Time of Your Life is actually called Good Riddance. And it's weird because it's an FU song, but it's now it was used in the Seinfeld finale. It's kind of become this romantic kind of days gone past sort of thing. And yet it was, the song is called Good Riddance. It's an FU, but it was, it's kind of like Born in the USA. Like people play Born in the USA, like at like Trump rallies, and it's like, yeah, Born in the USA. And if you listen to the lyrics, it's kind of, it's not good. There's nothing good in that song about being born in the USA, but no one actually listens to the meaning. They just hear born in the USA. Yeah. So, but that's probably Green Day's biggest, most known song. But, American Idiot is a big one. That's a big one.
When I Come Around, Basket Case were both big off of the Dookie album.
Dookie. Yeah. And in fact, they're playing Dookie and American Idiot front to back.
So I told Tara, our promotions goddess, that I drove from Eugene to Portland to see Green Day on the American Idiot Tour in 2005.
Wow. Yeah. You're an OG.
Yeah.
And I heard you caught a Billy Joe Armstrong guitar pick.
That's right.
Do you still have it?
Nope.
Why not?
I don't know. Things like that get lost in moves and shuffles. Like, what am I going to do with it? Put it on my wall or keep it in my wallet?
What do people do with
it? I don't know. It's like a cool souvenir if you're a super band person, but it was just a cool moment.
You're
and
not
then...
a super band person.
Though. No. I mean, but even so, like, what would you do if you caught a pick at a show? Like,
I wouldn't catch it.
Okay, but if you did, it would go either in a drawer or you'd throw it away.
Yeah, so, probably.
You know. It'd cool go, cool
it,
moment.
No, I wouldn't throw it away, but it would go in a drawer and I would never see it again.
Yeah.
It would somehow get lost.
Sure. Yeah. Which is what happened to mine.
Yeah.
I didn't intentionally throw it away. It just, you know, kind of disappeared over time.
I keep all that stuff.
Do you?
Yeah. I have a
Do
little...
you have like a drawer or box for it?
Yeah. I on my desk, I've got, I got things. I got some drumsticks. I got some picks. I got some various passes.
Now, if you get hit by a train tonight and perish, do the kids know what all that stuff is? Or are they going to be going through it going, I wonder what this is?
Well, the picks all have like the, you know, like the, most of the picks have the actual concert that are at. A lot of the big bands will make picks specifically for the show. I don't know if Buck's Green Day one has that, but yes, I have a, you know, I have a feeling that they would know what that is.
Yeah, the one that I caught, it said the American Idiot Tour on the back of the logo from the album.
Yeah, so there you go. There's another one. The Longview is another one that is probably a big one. Now, the one Green Day is a weird spot for me. Is I've told the story that when I was driving back from college and we rolled the car, we had the tire blowout. Probably the scariest thing that I've ever gone through. We rolled the car 5-6 times, and I was asleep. My wife at the time was driving, and I was sleeping. It was like, you know, one something in the morning, and I woke up to her screaming and the car spinning, and then we started the tumble. And what was playing on the, I think we were playing a CD at the time, was When I Come Around, was Green Day. So after the car stopped tumbling and we came to a stop, and you know, you're kind of gathering your wits about you and smoking and airbags and all that, and you're trying to figure out, is anything broken, and you got glass all in your face and there's blood. And all I remember from that is I remember all the dirt being like up my nose and in my ears and in my mouth, because I kind of got drugged through a big field. And so I remember trying to get all the dirt out of my eyes and nose and everything. And while that was going on, blaring, and I'm guessing that at some point it got turned up when we were rolling, all I heard was When I Come Around, and it just kept playing.
Wow.
That went the entire time.
On loop.
It's like the anthem of your car accident.
It was the anthem of the car accident.
So will you need to be held tonight when that comes on?
It's weird. When that song comes on, I'm not going to say it like, it like triggers me or anything, but that's a weird thing for me.
Glad I caught that. I was going to have it coming back from break.
it doesn't bother me. I mean, you do hear that song. It's just, I don't know. You ever have anything where instantly you remember, like I remember what the dirt in my mouth. I remember picking that stuff out, and I remember picking the shards of glass like out of my face. I remember like pulling that stuff out and just thinking to myself, shut the blank up. And it was blaring.
Yeah,
it was
that's
so
probably
loud.
A bad song to have on at a time like that, because it's very repetitive.
Yes. It's just, I'll never forget.
Now, if Ruby Soho was on by Rancid.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Well, what is the best song?
Because Rancid's there tonight.
What is the best song to wake up from a slumber to your car spinning?
I see what you did there. Ruby Soho.
Like Rocket Man or something soothing? Like, I don't know. You wake up to like Barry Manilow, like in Copacabana? I don't know. It's just,
that'd be good.
I think what we were listening to on the CD or radio.
Sticks, Come Sail Away.
Come
Sail Away.
But I just, that's my Green Day. That's probably my that's like a top five song to memory. You know, we have so many of those songs that you remember instantly, a time, a place, and most of those are usually good things, right? Like your wedding song, or, you know, I don't know, your high school graduation, whatever. I don't think I have another song that I tie as closely to something as I do When I Come Around.
Are you going to be there for the Pumpkins?
No, probably not.
Are you going to miss them?
I'll probably miss them.
The Smashing Pumpkins are there tonight, too.
Yeah.
Rancid, Smashing Pumpkins, Green Day, Prov Park. Let's go. And like you said, the weather's going to be nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe a little wet on the seats, but...
Someone saying a Jesus Take the Wheel would be a pretty good one to roll to.
Yeah, what if that were playing?
I think
would that make you a believer?
No, because my family did a lot of the Lord what saved you sort of thing, and I've again said this before too. I would, if I get to the other side, I'd like to ask him the question of if he was going to save us, and he did. No one died. Even the dog made it out, which was incredible. Why did we blow out the tire in the first place? Couldn't you just saved?
Well, all the of Lord that works in mysterious ways
by not blowing out the tire.
What about You Spin Me Right Around?
That's pretty good.
You would want that turned off. Tears in Heaven?
Gosh.
Jeez.
Limp Bizkit Rolling.
Pearl Jam Still Alive.
Rolling.
Or this. What if this came on?
God. This was a little before then. This was like, 2000.
When I feel that
this wasn't even born yet.
This wasn't even born yet.
Mm. Friends in Low Places.
Back in my helmet.
God.
Shoulder pads.
Yeah. For about 10 years, I could not listen to that song. And now it's like, whatever. I don't care. But yeah, for a long time, if that song came on, that was my Lebowski. Man, I've had a rough day and I effing hate the Eagles. Can you just turn it off? And it was a really popular song back in the day.
Well, it should be a good night for a show.
Yeah, I think so.
Here in town. This is the second big, huge concert at Providence Park.
The last one, too, of the year, because,
this is it, huh?
The rain.
Foo Fighters. Yeah, it's raining today, but, you know, it's supposed to be nice the rest of the week.
Yeah, but you can't book shows in Portland in October at outdoor venues.
Yeah.
Kind of cut that off, and you move that to Moda Center.
Mm. Mm. Well, as you guys know, we party on Wednesdays here.
Ow!
And today is a big show.
Really big show. Well, there's another kind of... How about UNLV refusing to, like, not be the story? When's the last time UNLV football is one of the most irrelevant programs over the last 100 years in college football. And the last 48 hours, the epicenter of college football news.
Yeah, they really are.
What the hell, man?
They've stolen the show today.
Go figure.
And it's not because they've joined the Pac-12.
No, we still don't know what's happening there.
Do you care to guess the last time UNLV had a double-digit win season?
Oh, dude, it's been forever.
Double-digit? I didn't know they had one.
They have one. They only started playing in 1978.
Okay.
I want to point that out.
Yeah.
And in 1979, they damn near did it with the great Tony Knapp.
Okay.
Because they were 9-1-2. Had they scored one more point in one of those two games, it would have been 10-1-1. Crazy.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
Yeah.
So they won 11 games. They went 11-2 with Harvey Hyde at the helm in 1984.
Well, I'll be damned.
And ever since.
Nothing.
The most they have won is 9 last year.
So I remember Randall Cunningham was there, but he was never good. When I was at BYU, you know, we locked horns every year with the mighty UNLV running Rebels. They had a quarterback named Jason Thomas that everyone thought was going to be like the next great thing. And let me tell you, he sucked, and so did they. But yeah, because John Robinson came back and was their coach, the great John Robinson.
The great.
Yeah. And so everyone was like, oh, UNLV. No, they still sucked.
He was later. Yeah, his best year was 8-5. By the way, that year they went 11-2. It's actually been adjusted to 0-13.
Ah, yeah, the old...
by the old NCAA.
Yeah, wiped it away, huh?
Must have been Jerry Tarkanian at the helm.
Chewing on that towel.
Mm.
You'd think that they could scrounge up some of that casino money to pay their players. Cheap asses.
Well, yes, we're going to start there. The big UNLV news. We've got a college football cookie crumble coming up.
I like a good cookie crumble.
We've made it to Bama, Georgia week.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, it's kind of gone underneath the radar a little bit.
It has.
But now, of course, we're ramping up the coverage. And I saw today, you know that Scott Cochran, who was like the first of the crazy strength and conditioning coaches? He was Alabama's guy. He's out of coaching and is a pill addict.
Yeah, wasn't he like the first to become a millionaire strength and conditioning coach in college?
He was like the first like strength and conditioning coach that was like the, you know, that the Wilson Love stuff. It was that dude. That dude.
So you're, just to be clear, you're not talking about Wilson Love.
No.
You're talking about
the archetype,
the original Wilson Love.
Yes, was this Scott Cochran. And yeah, I saw a story today. He's out of coaching because he went to Georgia with, I think, with Kirby to be like a special teams guy. He didn't want to be a strength conditioning coach anymore. And I guess he was a pill guy. So he's out of coaching. Is like trying to help people, like, you know, get off the drugos.
Yeah. All right. And then we got some baseball. You know, the baseball beanbag is coming up because we are down to our last 4 days.
Yeah.
Well, five technically.
Well, maybe. I mean, the Mets and Braves can't even play.
Well, six.
Are you out of your mind?
Well, they're going to play on Monday.
Yeah.
So
we're getting the doubleheader.
And then we're going straight into the playoffs on Tuesday.
Which is weird.
So let's get going. We'll tee up this UNLV story. It's the subject of our poll question next on The Fan. All right, let's get to our polls. I have a couple to wrap up for you before we get to today's regarding NIL. It is on X at 1080 The Fan. Now, Monday we did not wrap up our Monday poll because we were so excited with hot sports talk yesterday.
There was a lot happening. There was a lot.
That we didn't get this in. But Monday's poll question was, whose play is most surprising? Sam Darnold running away with that at 56%, followed by Malik Willis at 16%, Andy Dalton 15%, and Justin Fields 13%.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, the Vikings in general, just what they're doing. Don't know if it's sustainable long term, but what they're doing, it's the best coach team right now in the NFL.
So what do you think, if anything, happens to J.J. McCarthy moving forward? Nothing?
Nothing. I mean, look.
He comes back next year he's supposed to be the guy?
Yeah, and Darnold, I think, is just on a one-year deal. So, I mean, and look, I've gone back and I've taken a look at what Minnesota's doing, and this is not a slight on Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is doing what they're asking him to do. They're putting him in such good spots. But when you go back and watch him on the All-22, and you go back and watch the condensed film, Sam Darnold is still trying to do some Sam Darnold things. Like, he's trying to turn the ball over. They've put it on the ground a bunch. It just hasn't come back to bite him in the ass. And they've been so efficient in the run game, and he's doing exactly what they want. But what you're seeing out of Sam Darnold right now is more of, I hate to do this, but like, you know the crap that Brock Purdy gets where they say, you know, system quarterback. Sam Darnold is playing great, better than he's ever played, but nothing that you're watching Sam Darnold do is like next level franchise quarterback stuff. And so I think if you're Minnesota, you drafted J.J. McCarthy to be the future. I think depending on what Sam Darnold wants, like if I could get Sam Darnold at like a Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield contract, I'd ink that for 2 or 3 years and then see what I have in J.J. McCarthy. But if Sam Darnold wants to hit the open market, and we'll see how the rest of the season goes, but if he's going to want Daniel Jones money, you let him walk and you go with J.J. McCarthy, because I think right now you could put like Andy Dalton. If you put Andy Dalton right now in what Minnesota is doing, I think you'd have very similar results. It's just that we haven't seen Sam Darnold in this situation, and you're seeing a pretty talented guy playing in the confines of a system with everything around him, and it looks great, but it's not Sam Darnold that's making this thing go.
All right, that's Monday. Yesterday, now a bit of a shocker here, JC Babes. Check this out. What is the biggest local story to you? Pac-12 Survival won this.
Really?
32%.
Did they? Oh, okay.
Over the Blazers to KATU and Blazer Vision, that's 27%. Portland Diamond Project buying Zedell Yards, 25%. And WNBA to Portland, 16%.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess. But you said surprising. Like, the Pac-12 Survival.
No, I didn't say surprising. I said, what is the biggest story to you?
Okay. Well, I mean, the Pac-12, I mean, it survived, but it didn't, because it's...
I mean, it did.
It's just the Mount... I don't know. It's just the... It's just
It's Division I football.
It's the Mountain West.
It's Division I football!
So it's got Oregon State in Washington State.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. That surprises me. I thought maybe the Blazers TV deal would be the biggest local story to people, but not.
Football moves the needle, and I get it. At least now with Oregon State, Washington State, I guess this isn't true, but like... The uncertainty is gone. You know where you're at, and you can plot a path forward. But you, can't really do that because you don't know UNLV, or if it's not UNLV, is, you know, it's, but at least you know going forward, how about that, that you will be the flag bearer of your conference. How about that?
How about that?
And where that leads to, we'll wait and see. Hey, the Beavs and my Cougs will lock horns in a couple years. Got a little
home and home.
Yeah.
According to the who's that bro that's on Twitter that everyone hates on, but he just continues to break realignment.
Oh, that news. MH, the West Virginia guy.
Yeah.
He
says UNLV to the Pac-12 is the holdup is money.
Okay.
Their athletic department is broke and over $20 million in debt with no means to raise additional funds beyond the debt payments. Utah State took the last life raft. Mm-hmm. The Pac was offering, so UNLV is trying to get to the Pac to, good grief. UNLV is trying to get the Pac-2 to revert to the original deal that they previously declined.
Yeah.
That's what he's reporting. Yeah.
So they want the money. And by the way, if the Pac-12 gets out of any of the penalties and they can recoup some of that money, then maybe they've got a little more to throw at UNLV. By the way, I saw a pretty interesting thread about that lawsuit. And, you know, I won't go into like a, and again, I'm not a lawyer, but there were actually lawyers that looked at it. And, you know, there was some interesting insights there, and you pointed this out. Like, the Pac-12 wouldn't try this if they didn't think there was a way. And
it's antitrust. They're claiming antitrust.
Antitrust.
Which gives people tired head. But
exactly.
Like, it basically means that the Pac-12 was denied existence.
Yes.
Basically, the Mountain West was trying to rub them out.
So there may be some grounds to get some money back, and if you can, maybe then you can go at UNLV. But it also goes to show you the state of some of these programs. Like the Mountain West TV deal is like $3 to $4 million a year. UNLV has no money. I mean, my God, they can't even pay their quarterback $100,000. So, like, I just think when you talk about some of these Mountain West schools, you are literally talking about just bare bones budgets. So, like, exit fees and all that, yeah, UNLV doesn't have any of that. So, we'll see what happens.
So, the other UNLV story today that's grabbed the headlines is the subject of today's poll question, which is up there on X at 1080 The Fan. Pick a side. Is NIL destroying college football?
Oh, for God's sakes.
Absolutely no question, or nah. College football is better than ever.
Well, college football is great. It will continue to be great. But I have no sympathy, and I mean zero, for the NCAA because you created this. You had your head up your own ass for decades and refused to accept that people weren't going to sit there and let you continue to get free labor off of them. But Buck, do you have the clip I sent you?
I'm putting it in right now. You will have it in 30 seconds.
So this is from a year ago. So, and I, Charlie Barker or Charlie Baker, who's the new president of the NCAA, I actually think has been pretty good on a lot of these issues. He understands that things are changing, and I think he's trying to change with the times. But they have fought the idea of having contracts with kids that would prevent this. They have fought it for decades, and they've had these athletes over a barrel, and they have restricted them. And finally, they're reaping what they sowed. So anyone, and today that this poor UNLV quarterback kid is just getting raked over the coals. And I would ask anyone, and I mean anyone, if you agreed to go do something, whatever it is, you agreed to mow lawns, you agreed to go work for someone selling cars, you agreed to go play or, you know, pick up hoops on someone's team or a hood to coast, and I told you that I was going to pay you $100,000 to go do that, and then you got there and started doing the job, and then eventually I just said, yeah, I never said that, and I'm not giving you any money. How many people would continue to work for that company? No one. And yet we're calling this kid a bitch and a quitter, and people are dragging him over the coals. This is the NCAA's own doing.
So here's what happened. Quarterback Matt Sluka, who is the starting quarterback at UNLV, beat Kansas.
Yeah.
They're ranked.
They're off to their best start.
Yeah.
Like, ever.
3-0. And he's not great.
No.
But he's good with his legs, and they're 3-0.
He transferred from Holy Cross.
So he says an assistant verbaled $100,000 to him.
Mm-hmm.
The collective at UNLV says it's the first we've heard of this. There was no formal offer made to him. The head coach says, hey, that all has to go through me, and that one didn't. And the school released a statement that says that they, because he has an agent.
Yeah.
And they are viewing his agent's demands as threats and a violation of the NIL pay-for-play rules and a violation of Nevada law. So this is getting ugly.
I would also like to point out that because of the Tennessee situation and the soon-to-be House settlement, that there is no penalty for any of this. So good luck with that.
There's also a running back by the name of Michael Allen, who has just over 100 yards rushing so far for UNLV.
Yep.
And he just announced today that he is also leaving.
Yeah.
Transferring. Yep. Boom. Right after the 3-0 start.
Well, the players came out and said that, you know, everyone was like, why don't we put these things in contracts? And no one at the NCAA wanted to listen to this. And this was like a year ago that Charlie Baker had this when someone pressed him on the idea that we need to have some sort of contract here so it's not the wild, wild west.
A lot of people are breaking the rules. But my question then is, for those athletes that take that leap of faith into the portal or to a particular school without any guarantee on paper, wouldn't being able to have inducements and sign a contract ahead of time provide them with the consumer protections to at least go after a school legally if they renege on a promise?
Well, we have early signing, and we do have signing days.
In terms of NIL deals, though?
Well, I think the NIL deal is set up the way it probably should be, which is make the decision about the school that's the best school for you based on the academic opportunities and the athletic opportunities, and then figure out the other part.
In reality, that's...
Now, if we could ever...
In reality, that's... So, not really what's happening, as you said right now, right? Is why ignore the reality of how this is working right now in hopes
of
it being an ideal?
I'm not ignoring it. In fact, we have all kinds of cases that we've settled through negotiated resolutions and others that are pending. Yeah. I think the most important thing here is let's deal with some of the issues around accountability and transparency and consumer protections first. But in the meantime, and if we then want to have a conversation about other stuff, about how this should all work, especially if we get to the point where we give schools the ability to do more in this space, I'm all in on that. But I think to just say right now that inducements are working really well, and it's just like what you or I get if we're out looking for a job, is just a misrepresentation of reality.
I don't mean to say they're working well. I guess the question is, would having a contract ahead of time before you have to commit to a school help them work better and actually help protect athletes from people reneging on promises?
I don't know.
See, this is my whole thing. All of this could have been stopped.
Boys
this
ass.
Could have been stopped the moment NIL popped up. And yet, and this is, by the way, what the judge in the House settlement said. This is what the judge in the Tennessee stay said, that the NCAA continues, even after getting your ass kicked in court time and time again, even having to give on NIL and all the transfer stuff. What did the NCAA continue to do? No, we can't have contracts. They're still holding on to their pathetic, like amateurism sort of thing. And this is what it's created. I mean, the idea that you have NIL, and we've already seen it with high school kids, we've seen it with the transfer portal, and now we've seen it with a kid who gets to campus and is like, this isn't what I was told.
Didn't that happen with Damian Martinez?
Yes.
Too,
yes.
At Oregon State?
And it happened with Rashada. It's happened multiple times where kids are like, hey, this isn't what I was told.
Yeah, that's why Rashada ended up at ASU and not Florida.
Yeah.
And what happens every time is the collective in the school says, well, the first I've heard of it. So, and the kid's like, well, this is what I was told. So unless you believe that all these kids are just lying out of their ass, right? In a shocking development, things are being promised, not delivered. And kids are like, this isn't okay. But because of the NCAA's own stubbornness, they refuse to allow these things to happen where you can actually put a pen to paper and say, this is what we're offering you. And when you go here, this is what we're going to give you. So until that changes, this is what's going to happen. This is maybe the first of these in season, but it's not going to be the last. And I don't have any sympathy for teams or the NCAA because they are reaping what they sowed. And yet I think the vast majority of people are going to blame kids. They're going to call them quitters. They're going to drag them on Twitter. And I just don't know anyone that would show up for a job, and that's what this is, a job, and be told you are going to get paid this. And then when you get there, they're like, yeah, we're not going to
hey,
do that.
The company's doing really well, but we're not paying you.
And so the problem here is that the coach, it sounds like the coach willy-nilly, like the coordinator, right? The offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Willy-nilly said, hey, $100,000. Is that the problem here? Because it sounds like UNLV is saying, hey, whoa, that wasn't on our books.
Yeah, who knows?
So
then you wonder whether the coach knew the rules, whether he was just trying to bait the kid knowing that that wasn't there and that would hopefully get him on the line. I mean,
and that's where we just need some regulation. But it sounds to me like the NCAA from listening to Baker there, they're going to make the courts mandate it.
Yes.
Like, they're not going to stick the knife into their own chest. It's not going to happen.
Anyone that says that NIL and transfer portal is killing college football, then you can blame the schools and you can blame the NCAA. Well,
isn't this temporary, though?
Well, as the House settlement, you know, yeah, it gets finished,
I mean, it's
and
gonna
all that,
get fixed.
We're moving into a new era.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to get fixed.
And yet they're still trying to hold on to the last scraps of, oh, no, we're... he sat up there with a clear face. And had the nerve to be like, well, I think what you should do is pick a school for academics. And then once you get there and you decide that this is the degree you want, then and only then can you talk about NIL. Oh, my God. And that's a guy that I have said multiple times, I think, is starting to get it. And I think is pretty good for the NCAA as far as they're trying to lead it into this new era. And then I see something like that. And I just want to I just want to slap him.
All right. Pick a side. Is NIL destroying college football? Yes or no? Vote on X at 1080 The Fan. And please, the only thing we ask here, vote hard. We'll continue this conversation next and get into our college football cookie crumble. First look at Alabama, Georgia. Coming up, here's Buckley.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
All right, we're talking NIL here. So far on the poll question, which is pick a side, is NIL destroying college football? 61% say absolutely, and 39% say nah. But look, this is temporary. Like, that's the thing about this. Yeah. It's just they're going to get guidelines. Mm-hmm. They will get rules and safeguards. But the NCAA is clearly not going to do it on their own.
No.
So that's really just it. We have to, the courts, it has to work out through the courts.
But it's amazing to me that we continue to blame athletes for wanting compensation.
Well, don't you think that people, and the people that do that, is because it's not everyone that blames athletes. It's just people that do that are the ones that don't like the direction this is going. Those are the people that think this is ruining college football. You know, so it's easy to point the finger at the athlete.
But it's been that way forever. It's the whole, shut up, take the scholarship and be happy. And now it's, well, shut up and take the scholarship and you get your NIL and what does it matter? You're already there, what does it matter? And it just... it's the only walk of life. It's the only billion-dollar business that's run like this, and yet we somehow still blame the workers. And I don't know. Jay Billis has been on this. I've been on this for years, and it just today that UNLV kid, just unless that kid is just absolutely full of crap and is lying through his teeth, that kid got screwed over, and it ain't his fault. You know, people are like, he quit on his team. No. He was told that he was getting paid $100,000 to go play. That was going to be his job. And then they said, we're not going to pay you. That's not on that kid. That's on that school.
You know, when this all gets straightened out, and it will, mm-hmm. I feel like UNLV, of all schools, has like the most upside.
Well, they don't, because they have no boosters. They have no...
Well, but I'm saying that just all the money there. Like, in other words, the boost... you don't really need boosters if you're going to get private equity. I mean, that's basically what it's going to become.
Yeah.
And, you know, whoever that is, there's just, like, I feel like the casinos and UNLV in Vegas, they can't commingle and never have been able to because of the gambling aspect, right?
Yeah.
But that is all changing. There is so much money there. And UNLV, I don't know how big of a part of that community it is, but once this all gets above board and regulated... what's to stop all the money that's in Vegas from helping out UNLV? Because they hadn't in prior years. So I'm just saying...
they don't care.
They may not. I'm just saying, like, of all the schools that have upside when all of this gets figured out, mm-hmm. UNLV might have the most, short of anybody getting in bed with the Saudis, Oregon State.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it all comes down to, because having played them and seen that program, there's just no one. There is no fan base. There's no booster culture. That school's broke. They just don't have anything. That's like the billionaire guy for Oregon State. If that guy just was interested in football, we'd be great. If Steve Wynn ever decides that he wants to be a UNLV booster,
no, he's out.
Exactly.
They canceled him.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, Vegas is basically becoming Sports Central.
Yeah.
And sports gambling is now all legal. So that, a lot of things have changed to allow UNLV to become something there. I don't know if it will. I'm not saying it will. Maybe they'll just continue to ignore UNLV. But I'm just, once the stuff gets regulated, I wonder if UNLV has a chance. Like, this is why I'm just thinking about it from the Pac-12's perspective. It's like, that could be a good buy low program.
I just don't believe, when's the last time we saw any sort of school like this elevate themselves? It's maybe Boise State, and they didn't.
But
even
it's
really
a different landscape.
Yeah,
I mean, completely different set of circumstances. Yeah. Our college football cookie crumble is next. Let's look at Bama, Georgia.
Yeah,
and a few leftovers from the weekend that was in college football. We'll get to that next on The Fan. Well, we finally made it to Bama, Georgia week. The game is in Alabama, Tuscaloosa. Georgia ranked 2, Bama ranked 4. Georgia favored by 2. Could be affected by the hurricane.
Yeah.
By the weather, by the rain.
Yeah.
So we don't know about that.
But I haven't heard anything about the game possibly being called off or anything like that. Just that we could have some...
Might be ugly out there.
Ugly, yeah. And I don't really know who that necessarily favors in this one. I mean, I know Carson Beck, is kind of the hot shot potential first round pick, but Jalen Milrow throws the ball real well too, and both are physical teams. So I'm not certain if it is an ugly day. I'm not exactly sure who that favors. Although right now I'm looking at the weather and it says sunny and 76. So we'll see what changes.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Really?
Looking at it right here. Yeah, saying AccuWeather.
Wow. Okay. Kirby Smart, you know his record against Alabama?
I don't know his record against Alabama.
He's played them 6 times.
I'm going to go 3-3.
1-5.
Really?
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
He's only beat them once.
And that was in the national title game.
Yep. That was the revenge game, right?
Yeah, because they beat him. Alabama beat him in the SEC title game. But when Michi went down and Jameson Williams went down. I think there was another receiver. I think Alabama lost all 3 of their receivers. And I still contend, if you go back and if Alabama doesn't get hurt, I think Alabama wins that game. But, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts. And also, Saban ain't there anymore. So, I mean, his record against Alabama is maybe 1-5, but that was his record against Nick Saban. His record against Kalen DeBoer, that's different.
But we saw, the last time we saw Georgia, their offense was not very good.
No, it did not look very good at all.
At Kentucky.
Yeah.
And that's pretty unusual for them. I mean, that's old school SEC.
Although it's weird in that Kentucky has given them problems. When you look historically since Kirby Smart's been there, Kentucky and Stoops has a little something for Georgia. They always play them tough.
But so does Alabama.
Yeah.
Will they be number one? So Alabama wins, they're probably number one, aren't they?
Oh, 100%.
Win this game.
They'd have to be.
Yeah, they'd have to be. I mean,
I don't know who Texas has this week.
I don't know. I mean, Texas has a big win over Michigan, but I would be shocked if number 4 beats number 2 if Alabama doesn't leapfrog Texas to number 1. Although I could see, sometimes that's not the way this works. Sometimes we just fall in love with the team, and it does feel right now that Texas is kind of the darling of college football. So maybe I could see them receiving votes.
They're playing Mississippi State.
And being tucked behind.
Who sucks. What do you think? Where would you bet if you're going to bet that? Georgia -2 at Alabama.
Boy, that's tough.
That is tough.
I think I would still lean towards Kirby Smart.
Me too.
Kirby is a proven factor. The weird thing about this, though, is Kalen DeBoer, all that son of a gun does is win.
That's right.
No matter where he goes, that guy wins. And he went down to Alabama, and remember, like, they had Isaiah Bond left for Texas, and supposedly, like, everyone was jumping off ship, and, his offensive coordinator was not going, then was going, and then ended up, going up to Seattle to do the Seahawk thing with Ryan Grubb. And so people were kind of crapping on DeBoer, and then if you listen to people down in Alabama, they are saying that DeBoer has won everyone over. Got some of those kids back, killing it on the recruiting trail. And DeBoer's got some juice down there at Alabama. He may be the next guy. He really might be.
Might have been a great hire.
Well, you think about it. Like,
sorry, Washington.
He reminds me a little bit of kind of like an Urban Meyer type in that it was like, it was just one of these, like everywhere he goes, he's there for about 2 or 3 years and he just wins and moves on and moves on. And then he ends up at Florida and people are like, well, you want it Bowling Green and you want it Utah, but this is Florida. Well, yeah, a couple years later, Urban Meyer's winning national titles. I don't know if DeBoer wins a national title, but it sure didn't take him long at UW to get that thing pointing in the right direction. And he took a UW team that was very talented. I mean, look, you had Penix, you had 3 NFL wide receivers, you had 2 NFL tackles. I mean, there were some dudes, but this Alabama team is more talented than last year's Washington team. So is it inconceivable to think that Kalen DeBoer beats Georgia and ends up playing for a national title? And at the same time, can we also understand that more than likely, like 90%, both of these teams are going to be in the playoff anyway. So
exactly.
While this game does matter for seeding and, you know, bragging rights and all that, look, at the end of the year, these two teams are probably still going to be standing there.
I forgot DeBoer was at Fresno.
Yeah.
I don't know why I forgot that, but mm-hmm. I forgot that. So I was looking at his record. That dude, you know what his record is overall as a head coach?
It's incredible. It's like 88% or something.
107. And 12.
Yeah, he just...
He's lost 12 games.
He just wins.
So he was 67-3 in Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
He was 12-6 at Fresno, only 2 seasons. He had the COVID season and then won 9 games and then left. Mm-hmm. Washington, he was 25-3. And Alabama, he's 3-0.
Right? Like...
Damn, man.
So, again, we'll see that the Alabama and Georgia thing is a little different test, but... This is a guy that took over a Washington team that not many people were talking about, and he took a reclamation project in a quarterback, and he got those receivers to stick around because they were going to transfer after the coaching change, and he got them to stick around. And 2 years later, they ran into a buzzsaw in Michigan, but they took down the darling of college football last year, which was Texas. So I will take Georgia, and I will take Kirby Smart. Right, I don't know if this Georgia team is quite as talented at the skill positions. And maybe as the year goes on, we learn more about them. But when you look at you know those defenses they had with Dean and Carter and Davis and some of the offensive guys they had and the Brock Bowers of the world, I mean outside of Carson Beck, it's not. It just doesn't have necessarily the star power that some of those other Georgia teams had. But we also know that Georgia's a top 3 recruiter every year. So you know those dudes are there. You know they got NFL bodies over at every position. So I'm still leaning Georgia, but in no way would I be surprised if Alabama wins this game. In fact, from a betting standpoint, I wouldn't touch this.
Can't wait. That's the first, well, maybe not the first, but it's certainly most high-profile got to sit down and watch live game of the season so far.
Yes. I think
4:30.
I think Michigan, Texas had some of that, but I think we kind of...
But we lost that game.
We knew what was coming in that one, I think.
Yeah. Well, and even if you didn't, you sat down and watched. It's like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
And then by the second quarter, you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, it was a little...
So this one shouldn't be like that. 4:30 on ABC. That's weird. It's not on CBS.
I know.
But...
CBS is no longer home to the SEC.
All right, we'll get back to college football, the cookie crumble, a little bit later. Baseball beanbag is next.
Mm.
How about this? You know, your Mets got kind of hosed today.
Yeah, it's not good.
And coolest way to clinch a playoff spot?
Mm.
A triple play.
That is pretty cool.
So we'll get to some baseball items when we return on The Fan.